Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 30th, 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3 John chapter 5. You'll have a hard time finding that one. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have the update of the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, October 29th, went very well. Pastor Olson taught the first half of Lesson 23, teaching about Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9. After the pastor reviewed the teaching points of verses 7 and 8, which were taught in the previous lesson, he focused on the Apostle John, recorded in verse 9. The pastor described that verse 9 occurs in the millennial kingdom following the second advent of Christ, and it describes the marriage banquet, which will be the greatest party of all time, a formal banquet with protocol. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. Well, the first eight verses, we saw the best of the best in Gaius. And now in just three verses, we see the worst of the worst. It only took three verses, but the Apostle John is giving a strict, severe warning to Diotrephes, who has made himself the leader of the church, but he is a very arrogant individual, and he has to be first in authority. That was what we had in verse 9. Verse 9 says, I have written something, this doctrinal letter, to the church, the local church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority in the church, among them as in the local church, Diotrephes, he does not accept our authority. Now that's amazing. because this is the Apostle John. He doesn't accept the authority of the Apostle John. And who, well, you know about John. He was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ truly loved. In fact, he even gave his mother Mary to John to take care of when he was on the cross. He does not accept our authority. He doesn't accept what we say. He doesn't accept what we teach. That's true not only for the Apostle John, but any sound doctrinal teacher. Diotrephes is guilty in this verse of authority arrogance. He has rejected the spiritual authority of God's faithful communicators. Diotrephes is the current chairman of the board of the local church. He has totally refused to have the Apostle John's letters taught in the church. Diotrephes has manifested 3 very serious spiritual failures. And these are very important to go through. What you don't want to walk in the steps of Diotrephes. That's not the way you want to go. You want to walk in the steps of Gaius, but not Diotrephes. Spiritual failure number 1, the lack of the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. Humility. He has no humility. Spiritual failure number 2, lack of authority orientation. Spiritual failure number 3, he is living his life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. He is extremely arrogant and interlocking systems of hatred, full of mental attitude sins toward God's faithful communicators. Now, we have studied the first spiritual failure, the basic virtue of the spiritual life, humility. Diotrephes had no humility. So Diotrephes' first very serious spiritual failure was that he did not have the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. He had no enforced humility. He had no genuine humility. Now, the second very serious spiritual failure of Diotrephes was that he had no authority orientation. And this brought us to the doctrine, what does the Word of God have to say about authority? Well, it has a lot to say. And we have studied part of point 1. We are in point 1. Point 1 is the role of human volition in accepting authority. And we've studied the first 9 subpoints of point 1. But point 1 is very important, the role of human volition in accepting authority. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ created man to resolve the angelic conflict. And in creating man, he had to give man something that the angels also had. And that was volition, free will. And by you functioning and using your free will, when one person believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, then the angelic conflict is over. We were created with a volition and to resolve the angelic conflict. Response to authority is a function of human volition, a function of your free will. Human freedom provides the option of either accepting or rejecting authority in life. Either legitimate authority provided by God and the Word of God, or illegitimate authority provided in Satan's cosmic system. While God has delegated legitimate authority in life, these authorities are useless if human volition does not accept them. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God in the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. However, all illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance in Satan's cosmic system. Power lust is one of the motivating factors of arrogance and rejection of authority. And Diotrephes has great power lust. He's living his life by the lust patterns of the sin nature specifically. Great power lust. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life. Such arrogance is the source of evil. Rejection of authority causes people to degenerate, either morally or immorally. For example, the wife who rejects the authority of her husband becomes uncontrollable in society. And the most awful and awesome mistake people make is the rejection of the authority of their parents. This was so serious that in the Mosaic Law, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. You might want to turn over to Leviticus 20, verse 9. In the Mosaic Law, now we're not under the law, but the principle, we're given commands all the way through. Children, obey your parents in everything. Mandate. Children, obey your parents in everything. And in the Mosaic Law, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, it says, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Now that was the age of Israel. That was the Mosaic Law, but that was to prevent a nation full of Diotrephes. Now, we're not under the Mosaic Law. We're in the church age. And in the church age, there are mandates given to children with regard to their parents, and that is to be obedient to your parents in everything. Respect their authority. So your attitude toward their authority determines whether you ever grow up or not. Predominant rejection of authority of parents will destroy a nation. The rejection of the authority of legitimate government is destructive. The rejection of the authority of teachers and coaches is very detrimental. Rejection of all the above authorities means you have the potential of becoming a criminal. It means you will reject the authority of the police officer, the judge on the bench, and management in business. Such a miserable person makes those in his periphery miserable as well. Rejection of authority carries responsibility and results in a life of misery, unhappiness, and disaster. While God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government and husbands and parents, teachers, coaches, public officers, judges, and management, this authority is useless apart from human consent. For example, the husband has legitimate authority over his wife, but his authority is useless unless his wife, from her own free will, recognizes and accepts it. While parents have authority in the home, this authority is useless apart from training and discipline, which eventuates in the child accepting the parent's authority. While young, children must recognize the authority of their parents. As a result, they will develop love and respect for their parents as they grow up. But if you reject the authority of your parents, you will be a misfit in society, and unfortunately, you never really grow up. You never really grow up until you accept authority. Legitimate government has authority over its citizenry, but that authority is also useless apart from human consent. Human consent is expressed in this country by voting for someone you think will do the job. The important factor is the consent of the governed. Apart from human consent, there is revolution, civil war, violence, terrorism, crime, dictatorships, slavery, and other functions of evil. The biggest thing that keeps you from growing up is your rejection of authority, your lack of consent to submit to legitimate authority. That's the first 9 subpoints. Now we start tonight, subpoint number 10. Therefore, legitimate authority is only effective where human volition responds to it under the principle of freedom. Therefore, legitimate authority is only effective where human volition responds to it under the principle of freedom. When we choose for legitimate authority, we're blessed. We're blessed both individually and collectively in a nation. However, when people through arrogance and power madness gravitate to Satan's cosmic system, they use their free will to make bad decisions, which has both personal and national repercussions. Every person is a product of their own decisions. Good decisions to accept authority and develop capacity for life and love and happiness, or bad decisions to reject authority and fulfill passages in the Word of God dealing with the laws of volitional responsibility. Now, there are many passages, Old Testament and New Testament, that teach the laws of volitional responsibility. Let's take a look at some of these. We'll start with the New Testament. Let's start with Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. What is sowing? That's your decisions you make. You can sow good decisions, you can sow bad decisions. But whatever you sow, this you will also reap. Galatians 6:7. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 25. For the one who does wrong, bad decisions, he will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done. And that without partiality. Colossians 3:25. Now in the Old Testament too. In the Old Testament, let's go to Hosea. Can you see? Just seeing if you're awake. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. They sow to the wind. This is bad decisions. This is using your free will to make bad decisions. They sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Discipline. And then Proverbs 22, verse 8. Proverbs 22, verse 8. The one who sows wickedness, this is using your free will to make bad decisions, he reaps trouble and the rod of his fury. What is the rod of his fury? That's the capacity for exercising anger, mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue. And the wicked will reap what they sow and eventually perish. These are all passages on the laws of volitional responsibility. Subpoint 11. Believers who gravitate to a life of fulfillment of lust, in other words, living their life by the lust patterns of their sin nature, and arrogance, have used their free will to destroy their own lives. Believers who gravitate to a life of fulfillment of lust, the lust patterns of your sin nature, and arrogance, have used their free will to destroy their own lives. They have no one else to blame but themselves. Young people who resist the authority of their parents have developed a habit which will destroy their lives. How does the rise of dictatorship and evil happen in a nation? Look at our country. Now I know we like our president, but look what's going on in state after state after state. In New York, they're going to elect a communist. A communist. You can't get more evil than that. In America, we are destroying our... And this is free will. People are voting for a communist who says if Netanyahu comes to America, he's going to arrest him. He is totally anti-Semitic to the core. He hates Israel. And New York City is electing a communist. New York City! But it's not just New York City, it's Chicago, it's Los Angeles, it's California. The governor of California is absolutely horrible. Oregon, Washington. It's not the West Coast, it's the left coast. Washington, Oregon, and California. It'd be great if the San Andreas Fault ran down all three states and they all fell into the ocean. Nevada would have oceanfront property. You might have something your property really goes up, see? It's not going to happen, but it could. How does the rise of dictatorship and evil happen in a nation? It's happening all over America. People use their own free will. This is happening in America, using their own free will to gravitate to a system of evil, evil power, especially in times of historical disaster and crisis. Such small groups as the Bolsheviks and the Nazis have controlled millions and millions of people because the people surrendered to them with their own free will, gravitating to a system of evil power. When people use their own free will to turn to God and turn to the Word of God, now they make good decisions for legitimate authority and inevitably receive divine blessing as they advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. However, when believers gravitate to the power of the cosmic system, they use their free will to make bad decisions, and inevitably they give their authority to evil leaders with disastrous consequences. When they're all ready to vote in New York City, the consequences there are going to be horrific, disastrous. This communist is going to release all the criminals. They'll all be released out. It's the beginning of the end. And you are conservative, you like our president. But I'll tell you, when you go over and make devil... complicity with the devil's own people, Putin and the communist dictator Xi and the communist North Korean dictator Un, well, they make up the leaders who will, following the rapture, bring Russia and Iran and communist China and the Pan-Arabic bloc and the revived Roman Empire in to the Middle East to attempt to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. They are evil, 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 evil. The communists don't love America. They want to destroy America. The Russians don't love America. They want to destroy America. Communist China doesn't love America. It wants to destroy America. It's one thing to have some conservatism. It's a totally different thing to have Bible doctrine in your thinking. Truth in your thinking. That's what is needed, not just, and you know, he's a wheeler dealer. And he's a very excellent wheeler dealer, and he's wheeling dealing with the wrong people when you're dealing with Russia and Communist China. So evil, principle number one, evil has no authority apart from human consent. Evil has no authority apart from human consent. We're the products of our own decisions. We're constantly assigning authority to evil people who represent the cosmic system. And this is how dictators become oppressors of the people. This explains the rise of Lenin and Stalin and Hitler. In times of tribulation, the free will of man often chooses for an alleged or apparent strong man by so doing, man establishes the authority of evil in dictatorships. Therefore, in history, disaster is the result of individual and collective decisions of people. Bad decisions. People are the product of their own free will decisions. That's principle number one. Evil has no authority apart from human consent. And we're giving evil our human consent in the United States of America. Principle number two. Good decisions place the believer in the directive will of God. That's exactly where you want to be. You want to be in the directive will of God. Good decisions place the believer in the directive will of God. The believer is both protected and blessed in the directive will of God. Principle number three. Winner believers never deviate from the divine authority of God's directive will and His mandates. Winner believers never deviate from the divine authority of God's directive will and His mandates. And this leads the believer to spiritual maturity and the establishment of the pivot in the client nation to God and the manufacture of invisible heroes. And that's what we need in America. However, when believers reject the authority of parents and childhood and adolescence, then they will reject the authority of God and the Word of God later. Destruction of the authority of God in your life is a guarantee of a disastrous life. That was all under point one. Point two, authority orientation. Authority orientation. First of all, one, authority orientation is life orientation. Life orientation. Authority orientation is a part of the Royal Family Honor Code. This is right where you want to be living. You want to put on the uniform of honor in your soul. The uniform of honor. When you have the uniform of honor in your soul, you have the greatest respect for legitimate authority. You have humility. Three, the greater the authority over people, the greater the your responsibility to the people. The greater the authority over people, the greater your responsibility to the people. Now, no matter how high we go in life as far as authority goes, there's always a higher authority that must be recognized in order to perpetuate humility as orientation to life. Point three, freedom and authority. Point three, freedom and authority. Subpoint one, there are two categories of freedom related to authority. Temporal freedom and spiritual freedom. There are two categories of freedom related to authority. Temporal freedom and spiritual freedom. Temporal freedom is authorized by the laws of divine establishment. It includes your privacy, the sacredness of your property, and the sacredness of your life. Spiritual freedom is authorized by the Mysterion, mystery doctrine of the church age. What do I mean? Subpoint two. Spiritual freedom is related to believers only who are living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and the power of God. Spiritual freedom is related to believers only who are living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and the power of God. The power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God in their heart. Point three. The privacy of spiritual freedom is the universal priesthood of the church age believer. We are all a priest. Universal priesthood of the believer to represent yourself before God. So the privacy of spiritual freedom is the universal priesthood of the church age believer. Four, the purpose of spiritual freedom is to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. That's why we're here. The purpose of spiritual freedom is to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Five. Spiritual freedom without spiritual authority is ignorance of aletheia, ignorance of the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Spiritual freedom without spiritual authority is ignorance of aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Six, the spiritual authority for spiritual freedom is twofold. It's the absolute truth of the Word of God, aletheia, and it's the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. The spiritual authority for this spiritual freedom is the absolute truth of the Word of God, Aletheia, and the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So, point four is let's take a look at spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. One, spiritual authority resides in the Word of God and its communicator. Today, in the post-canon period of the church age, that's the pastor-teacher. So spiritual authority resides in the Word of God and its communicator, the pastor-teacher, as well as in deacons to whom the pastor delegates authority, and the evangelist also has spiritual authority. Subpoint two. Divine authority is stated in the context of the Word of God. Divine authority is stated in the context of the Word of God. This authority is delegated to the pastor-teacher of the local church and to the evangelist who has authority over those unbelievers to whom he communicates the gospel. And delegated authority is given to those with administrative gifts in the local church, the deacons. Subpoint three, the pastor-teacher's authority is limited to his own sheep. Now they're God's sheep, you're God's sheep, and he's the chief shepherd, the pastor's the under-shepherd. But his authority is to feed the Lord's sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, sir. Then feed my sheep. Jesus didn't say feed your sheep. Feed my sheep, the Lord's sheep. You're the Lord's sheep. You're not my sheep. So the pastor's authority is limited to his own congregation. Though his sheep need not be under his face-to-face ministry. Our congregation has two parts, the face-to-face congregation and the non-face-to-face congregation. Four, the Royal Family Honor Code demands authority orientation in the form of academic discipline when the pastor is teaching the Word of God, the Bible. The Royal Family Honor Code demands authority orientation in the form of academic discipline when the pastor is teaching the Word of God. And this academic discipline is the authority which the believer imposes upon himself during the teaching of the Word of God, so that others in the congregation may be free to learn without any distraction at all. This academic discipline includes no talking, no unnecessary movement, or anything that would break the concentration of those positive believers in the congregation. The Royal Family Honor Code recognizes common sense, good manners, thoughtfulness of others, and respect for the Word of God. Subpoint five. This demands communication of the Word of God by the pastor teacher and perception of the Word of God by the congregation, believers. This demands communication of the Word of God by the pastor teacher and perception of the Word of God by the congregation, believers. However, the pastor cannot communicate what he does not know. And there's a lot of pastors that don't know very much, but they're doing a lot of communication. They just don't know much. Therefore, the pastor's life must be totally devoted to studying and teaching the Word of God. That's the only reason why I am here. Study and teach the Word of God. That is my life. What he teaches should be the result of many agonizing hours of study under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And I get here every day and I am in my happy place, starting with prayer and then studying. Sometimes I do all my study from the original languages, the Hebrew, the Greek, and sometimes the Hebrew is very difficult. Sometimes the Greek is very difficult. And I will, when I get through a half of a verse, all of a sudden, I've had it for about a 15-minute power nap. Then I come back and I go another half of a verse, another power nap, and that goes on and on. You have to have the gift of pastor-teacher and have been trained in the languages. And I majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek. I had 4 years of Hebrew and 4 years of Greek, and that barely got me started to study. Now I've been studying and I've been learning the entire time I've been here. I'm still learning Greek. I'm still learning Hebrew for the entire time. And but that's I have my little office is small, but it's packed. There's me. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it's packed in there. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit, if I too long on my power nap, hits me upside the head. Get going here, bucko. Okay. Yes, sir. My bad. Therefore, you are required to respect and listen to the teaching, at which point you then choose whether to believe it or not. This means the pastor's personality is not the issue. What's the issue is the function of your royal family honor code, authority orientation. Never permit preoccupation with the pastor's feet of clay or his personality to hinder your learning the Word of God. Turn over to Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. By the way, when we finish 3 John, I've already been asked, what are you going to teach next? Hebrews. I'm down to just 2 books I haven't taught, Hebrews and Revelation. Hebrews, what we're going to do. Now, however, in Zechariah, I'll be teaching a lot of revelation in Zechariah, so not to worry. Hebrews 13:17. Keep obeying those pastors who are ruling over you and submit to their authority. For these same pastors keep watching for the benefit of your souls. Watching for the benefit of your souls as those who have to render an account. Keep obeying them in order that they may do this with happiness and not with groaning. For this, failure to accept the pastor's authority is unprofitable for you. Subpoint 6. The pastor is responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the congregation. And therefore, when the pastor gets out of line, who whacks the pastor? The Lord Jesus Christ whacks him. And not only does he whack him, he whacks him with double discipline. Seven. It is inevitable that certain members of the congregation will become dissatisfied with their pastor. That has happened here on many occasions. Inevitable that certain members of the congregation become dissatisfied with their pastor, and therefore they will seek to discredit him, to judge him, malign him, slander him. So therefore, subpoint 8. In subpoint 8, God has given a warning to the congregation not to tamper with God's communicator. A very severe warning not to tamper with God's communicator. Turn over to Isaiah 54:17. And when I left to go to Dallas Seminary, Pastor Breckel, whom I had the greatest respect for and loved that man just as much as Colonel Thieme, he brought me into his office and he said, "Dick, after you finish at Dallas Seminary and prepare for the ministry, God will assign you to a flock of his sheep. And there will be times, from time to time, that people will come in and they will slander you, malign you, judge you." And this happened with Pastor Breckel. Oh, people came in to his office and said, "We don't want Bible doctrine. We don't want doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. We want the gospel." "Why, aren't you saved?" And whenever they come in and say something like that, Pastor Breckel would take Isaiah 54:17. And by the way, he gave this to me. He says, "You keep this, Dick, and when anyone comes in, says, 'What's this doctrine, doctrine, doctrine? We don't want doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. We want this or that.' Well, you don't say anything. You just read Isaiah 54:17. No weapon which is formed against you, God's communicator, No weapon which is formed against you, the faithful communicator of the word of God, will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and his vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Well, Pastor Breckel gave that to me. He says, I've many times there have been people in the congregation come in to straighten me out that I wasn't doing the right thing. And all I did was read this. He says, you're going to have that happen to you too. You have this and read this. Actually, I put it on a plaque. It's up in my office. So if you come in and you start going, I'll just point. Right up there. There you go. Subpoint 9. The job profile of the pastor is given in several passages, but I'm going to have you go through all these passages on the job profile of the pastor. But it's going to take more than 3 minutes to go through that. So you have to, plus we have a pre-deacons meeting tonight, communion service Sunday. If you get here, turn your clocks, fall back. Daylight savings time is over. Now you're not going to save daylight anymore, see? So, move your clocks back. There'll be some of you that won't. You know, you're too busy, whatever you're doing. And you'll come in here. You might get here in time for communion. But afterward, after communion, we have our deacons meeting. So tonight, pre-deacons meeting. Ooh. Big, that's big right there. Pre-deacons meeting. So we'll pick up right here. Subpoint 9, the job profile of the pastor. Next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these truths become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.